Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, maniacs. Hulk Hogan here, the greatest of all time, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. So what you gonna do?
You listen to Knockout Radio. That's what you're gonna do every Wednesday from 2 to 4.
Does that get you pumped up when you hear Terry?
I get hyped. He's the goat. He's the biggest goat of all goats.
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know about the biggest goat of all goats.
You don't think globally he's more recognizable than Tom Brady?
I can't.
Than Michael Jordan?
I don't know about Michael Jordan. You know,
Michael Jordan could be up there with, I mean, but, and Terry, like, he's up there, man. There's not many figures, iconic figures and images globally are bigger than.
No, I mean, I can't argue that. I mean, I think Terry is one of the biggest.
Because as we, like, as a nation, yeah. Remove our past and, like, knock down monuments and take away flags, and I think we should get rid of the Statue of Liberty and just make it Hulk Hogan.
Terry. No, but it's got to be Terry, Hulk Hogan, and Randy Poffo, better known as Macho Man. Randy's got to be. They're connected.
Well,
they're connected.
He could be under the leg drop.
All right, before we both get beat up, let's jump back to the phone lines as we get ready and continue to talk about Saturday UFC Fight Night 176. It's been about a year since our next guest has been with us on Knockout Radio. Let's welcome back to the program, Jalen Turner. Jalen, how are you?
Doing great, man. How's it going?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. The beginning of another fight week and a little strange fight week out in Las Vegas. I know you just got there, but tell me what it's going to be like for you to be a different fight week than when we met in Atlanta or your last fight.
Man, I think I just evolved so much since then, just mentally, physically, and, you know, just all energy, just going about being in the UFC and, you know, preparing for this fight week has just become professionalized just on another level.
How different or difficult has, you know, the pandemic and not being able to get gyms that are open or not supposed to be open or training partners, how difficult has, you know, getting ready for Saturday been?
You know, I started training in my backyard, so it hasn't been too difficult. I just went back to my roots. I started training up with my coach in his garage. And then, you know, I was training with my coach at park. You know, we were just trying to make it happen. And then, you know, in California, a couple of gyms started, like opening up, like, you know, just a little bit here and there. And then, you know, we just started training at some private facilities. And, you know, we made it happen.
You know, I've asked a couple athletes this that haven't fought yet at the Apex, and I know a lot of fighters, you know, as they come up, you know, they fight in front of a small crowd, but I don't know, have you fought in front of what you're going to fight on Saturday with about 36 people?
Yeah, I fought on Contender Series. You know, it was only a few people, you know, a few of the fighters' families allowed in the venue, so yeah, I'm used to it. Even from local promotions, I'm fought in small arenas, and you know, I'm used to it. It's not going to affect me too much at all. I think it's going to be fun to hear, like, hear the sounds of the strikes going off somebody's body, you know, and, you know, just stuff like that. Just hearing the leather get swung is going to be intense.
You know, and I've said this each and every week, and we just had Sajara on, and I said the same thing. I enjoy no fans there. You know, watching it at home, I'm able to hear everything. I'm able to hear the conversations, you know, of the coaches when they speak English. I don't understand Portuguese, so when they're talking that, I'm kind of lost. But, you know, I've enjoyed that. And the strangeness that is me, I can't watch WWE without the crowd and all that, but I enjoy watching MMA and watching the UFC without it.
Yeah, I can see that. WWE without a crowd is probably not the same, especially since it's, you know, like mainly stage stuff. So, you know, hearing the commentary, hearing the coaches, hearing the game plans, hearing what they're telling them to do makes a big difference and keeps you engaged a little bit more into the fight.
At least we won't, and I say this each and every time I talk to the athletes, we don't have to hear, get them a body bag, sweep the leg, the Ric Flair woo, any of that you don't have to hear on Saturday.
No, not at all. Yeah, we don't have to hear people booing if you know, there's no action going or, you know, anything like that. Like, people, you know, somebody's on the ground and they're just chilling there on the ground. You don't have to hear boos or anything. You know, you don't have to get beers thrown at you after the fight or anything like that. So, you know, that's a pleasure.
And I'm going to go one step further because I always bring this up as well. you don't have that crazy fan that's going to reach over with the Sharpie and try to get an autograph as you're walking out of the octagon, you know, with, you know, maybe some blood here or a little injury there, or you're limping and they don't care. Hey, will you sign this? That always has driven me crazy as well.
Yeah, I think that's pretty funny.
What can you tell us about your opponent? And does it even matter about your opponent?
Yeah, I mean, it you know, I've watched him for a while. I know a bit about him. He's a decorated black belt, you know, good on the ground. He's durable. He's a tough guy. But, you know, I love fighting the tough guys. They're probably, like, my favorite guys to fight. I think it's a great stylistic matchup for me. You know, he's going to do what I've been working on the most, and that's wrestling and defending takedowns and staying off my back unless I'm on top. And, you know, I'm well-versed in the stand-up aspect already, so, you know, I don't think there's much he has to offer for me besides his durability. You know, if I'm not able to put him out right away, you know, then, you know, he might come back in the third because he'll weather the storm a bit. So, you know, I have a game plan for all that. I've foreseen all this happening, so, you know, we're on the mark for what we need to do to get the win on Saturday night.
Let me ask you this, and Marcus Jones, and I don't know if you know who that is. He was a former number one draft pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, went on the Ultimate Fighter, a very good friend of mine. We talked about football, and he told me, and I've always brought this up, you know, when I'm chatting with other people, Marcus told me he never liked football. He was just good at it. So do you like mixed martial arts? Do you like combat sports, or are you just good at it, or both?
I think it's both, you know. Competing – it's a different side of me that comes out when I compete, you know, just doing martial arts, you know, just training on the daily, you know, having the grind, learning new aspects of it. Like, that's what I really fell in love with. Being under the lights is just a surreal feeling. And, you know, I just want to savor every moment I can have being under the lights. But, you know, at the same time, I always like feel like it's not my main purpose in life. Like, I love it. But, you know, also, it's, you know, it's hard. It's hard to endure everything that goes on in there. But, you know, it's a different lifestyle. It's a different mindset. And, you know, I just think I ended up adapting to the mindset, and I grew into loving every single aspect of it. Like, even though, you know, like Nick and Nate used to say, they hate fighting. You know, they have to hate it right to love it. So I think I understand them from this point sometimes.
Cool. All right, let's a couple questions to get to know you a little bit better. Dinner. Four people are going to come over for dinner, living or passed away, real or fictitious, cannot be family members, can't be, you know, fighters from the gym, you know, that you hang out with on a regular basis. Who are they going to be?
Steve Irwin. Dang. Who else? Juice WRLD. Nipsey Hussle. I can't think of a four.
we can go three. I mean, that's going to be a pretty good conversation, so we'll go with three. Reality TV, do you watch any of it? Would you do any of it? And if so, which one?
I don't watch any of it. I don't watch TV at all for the most part, but yeah, I do reality TV. I think that'd be awesome.
Memorabilia. Do you collect memorabilia, whether it's yours, somebody you might, you know, fight against, other sports? And if you do, or even if you don't, what one piece of memorabilia of anything that has ever existed, what would you like to own?
You know, I'm not big on memorabilia. Like, I have my own stuff that I don't even, you know, I don't even use. Like, I train in my fight gloves. And, like, people are like, what, you train in your fight gloves? Like, you know, it just blows their mind. I don't know. I'm not really big on it.
I asked, and I told this story numerous times, that I asked a former Buccaneer, I think he's out in San Francisco right now, and he said, you know, I'm not a big collector of memorabilia, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know, no, Leonard, I need you to give me something. Give me something that you would like. And he thought for a second, and nobody has ever said this, and this is the greatest answer of all time. He said, Jesus's sandals. and I said, that is awesome.
That's the one.
That's the one
thing to own. Hey, Jillian, I'm a big nickname guy. I love to know how guys got their nicknames. I know you're the tarantula. Obviously, we have Kendall Grove coming up this week with BKFC. He's the Spider, formerly known as the Rainbow Warrior. So, you know, how did you get the nickname, and what's the story behind it?
It's easy. He's a fan of Superman.
Oh.
Macho Man Randy Savage that I mentioned earlier. No, go ahead. Tell the story, Jen.
I actually owned a large collection of tarantulas. You know, I always idolized Anderson Silva, but he was already the Spider. And then, you know, I just think it fit. You know, I started hinting at the name around the gym. I was like, hey, that'd be a cool nickname, huh? And then it just came about, you know. So, like, at one point in my life, I had maybe, like, 200-plus tarantulas, like, in my collection. And, yeah, the name just fit perfectly.
What I find fascinating, I was told that you actually were afraid of spiders, and that's why you actually went towards, like, owning tarantulas, because of your fear of them. And if that's true, like, how inspiring that is to the fan base out there, that someone has a fear and then you can overcome it by attacking it and living through it. So, I mean, if that's true, man, that's remarkable, young man.
Yeah, that's actually, like, how I got into them. I didn't like them. Like, spiders creeped me out for a while. And, you know, I was just like, where did this come about? And I just tried to figure it out. And I had, like, my two best friends, they hated spiders. And I hung out with them. And, like, we collected scorpions at the time. And they were like, oh, I hate tarantulas. And I was just like, they hate spiders. And they would just kill every spider they see. And I was like, I just kind of, like, adapted that mindset a little bit. And then, I got to a point where I was like, I wouldn't even want to kill a spider. I wouldn't even want to touch a spider. And I was like, why am I like this? So, you know, I just addressed it. I nipped it in the butt. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get a tarantula. I always said I'd never own one. And then I got one. And I watched it drink water. It let me hold it. And I was like, wow, this is an amazing pet. It was so misunderstood. And now I understand it. I started researching them. And it just became an addiction. And I just fell in love with them. So that's how it came about. Wow.
So did all 200 have a name, and could you tell the difference?
No, my big ones had names. My babies didn't really have names yet.
they had to grow into it. What can we expect to see Saturday night, UFC Fight Night 176, when you get back in the octagon?
You know, you can always expect me to bring the fight. I always try to come and bring the fight. You can expect to see me have a lot of fun in there. You know, that's what it's all about, and that's what I have to go back and remember. This is about fun. You know, it's serious business also, but if you're not enjoying it, then, you know, it's hard to do. So I'll just bring that aspect back into the fight, maybe do a little flashy stuff here and there, and, you know, keep it entertaining, have some fun, and get my hand raised.
All right, Matt, so during Jalen's fight, I want you to yell, you know, get him a body bag or woo, or you got to do something. He may not hear it, but you still got to yell it.
Sweep all eight legs, Johnny.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Jalen, we appreciate your time. Best of luck. Have fun on Saturday. We're going to put you on hold so we can get your address so we can mail you out some 8-man strong swag for coming on today.
Sweet. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care. Awesome. And have a good time. Enjoy it on Saturday night. So there we go. Another week, another fight week. And it's, I believe I read somewhere that it's every week through December.
I love it. So I love getting to know the backstories of the nicknames. It's awesome to hear the stories.
I remember when he was on in Atlanta. Good dude. We really had a good time hanging out, doing the show, chatting, as I like to say. All right, let's hit a quick break. Coming to you live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Wes Welker, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Torta Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Torta Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, One great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Joel Romero here and the Knockout Radio.
All right, we're back coming to you live from Florida Pizza. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of cool stuff going in my hometown. God, I miss Philly. I truly do.
Just because you're born, it doesn't make your hometown.
It is my hometown. It's where I was born. No. Greatest food.
Outcast. They say it's not where you're from, it's where you pay rent.
Well, I'm going to pay rent in Philly then, just to say it. I think we're headed back up to Philly. It's been a while.
What?
Let's welcome back. It's just past a quarter past the hour in the official BKFC segment. I think Dave Feldman's on the line. Dave, are you there?
Hey, no, actually, you know what? You got Paige Van Zandt here.
He already transferred the call over. Paige, how are you? Yeah. I knew that you were coming on. I didn't know if Dave was coming on first. So first, you're hanging out in Philadelphia. How cool is that?
I am. It's absolutely amazing. Actually, I'm here having my first ever cheesesteak at Phillips. So it's been a very fun day.
All right. So the first question, as a Philadelphian, born in the city of brotherly love, did Dave tell you how to order it, or did he order the cheesesteak for you?
No, I was told how to order, and it's a cheesesteak with wit, right?
Exactly. And, okay, and for cool. those people that don't know, it's wit means onions, so with onions, and then you got the whiz as well. So you're almost a Philadelphian then. That's awesome.
I would say so. I've had a good time, and I feel like I was meant to eat cheesesteak.
Now, I understand you either have already been or you're going to, and we like to call it, you know, the Rocky statue and the stairs at Rocky. And have you already been there?
Yeah, we went there. That was one of our first stops this morning. And, it was absolutely iconic and legendary. I was able to run the steps and do my Rocky moves and poses. So, it's just one of those, like, iconic places, especially for fighters, just to, you know, be and walk at the same footsteps. Footsteps is a legend.
You know, maybe have Dave take you to Market Street. You can run through like Rocky did, or if you really want to do something slightly dangerous, go drive by Rocky's apartment and Dave will tell you about that location in Kensington. It's an experience. But yeah, you may want to do that. I know that we've only got you for a couple minutes. You're doing a lot of press up there in Philadelphia, so let's also talk about your new home, BKFC. How easy or how difficult was it to sign with David Feldman and BKFC?
Honestly, it was, in my heart, it was an easy decision. I knew where I wanted to go. I knew that I wanted to sign with BKFC. Of course, I had a lot of amazing offers on the table. I had a lot of reasons to go other places. I mean, there was just, I really tried to look at the big picture and weigh all my options. And at the end of the day, fighting for me is a passion, and I needed to go with what sparked that passion the most, and that was fighting for BKFC. So I'm really excited, and I've already loved everything that they've utilized me within their organization for, and I'm excited to get that first fight and just shine under the lights.
What was it about BKFC that intrigued you so much? Was it David Feldman, his staff, his passion? Was it the difference of it being a different sport, bare knuckle? Or, and it could be all of these, is it also, I mean, it's the oldest, newest sport to kind of get involved in?
No, you nailed it with one, the company, when they reached out to me. I loved the sense of professionalism. I loved the way that they valued me. Beyond that, I loved the idea of trying something new. Of course, I've been in MMA for so long, but this is a brand new passion. And for us fighters, it's, you know, there's no true words. We just want to get in there and fight. And for this is a real, like, you just get in there and you absolutely fight. So it's a new opportunity. And I felt like for me, career-wise, it wasn't a move backwards. It was a move laterally to an entirely different division, a new sport. And I'm excited to show. You know, I think the passion will come through and you'll be able to see that when I fight.
I hate to ask questions that haven't happened yet, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to break my own rule. How do you prepare for something so new? You know, you've worn gloves. You've done other sports under mixed martial arts. This is so different with no gloves. The training is different. Everything is different. How do you prepare for that?
Just the best you can. I mean, with every opportunity you have in life, you just do absolutely everything you can to feel mentally prepared, physically prepared. You know, in MMA, we wear the women's, I was a strawweight and a flyweight for a long time. And the gloves are not much bigger than bare knuckles. They're very, very small. So I think it's the punch placement, the technique is all going to be very similar when it comes to the striking, but it's just making minor adjustments and doing everything you can to stay as safe as possible. It's hit and don't get hit.
Two final questions for you. I promise, Dave, I'll keep it short. How many people have reached out to you asking you about gloves in a no-glove sport? Because it happens all the time.
Yes, I know. It's definitely, some people are very confused. They're like, bare knuckle, well, really? Like, no gloves? I'm like, well, yeah, no gloves. But my mom, my poor mother, she was, of course, very supportive of absolutely everything I do, but she pulled my husband aside and asked him, like, okay, since it's, you know, bare knuckles, is it, like, bare teeth? Like, she can't wear a mouth guard or anything? And my husband couldn't help but laugh and say, no, yes, she can wear a mouth guard. Her teeth are protected.
That's funny. How soon would you like to get in? How soon do you want to get started?
You know, we talked about, we're all targets are looking towards a fight in November. I would love, I think that fight date makes sense. It gives me plenty of time to just make some final adjustments towards the new sport, but also, you know, short enough that we can get in there and really capitalize on the momentum of a new sport and the excitement that's behind it right now. So, you know, we're shooting for November.
Awesome. And I know I've already told Dave Feldman this. I also told my daughter this the other day, and I'm going to tell you this as well. I have promised my daughter that I will be bringing her to your fight. She's a big fan of yours. I told you that last time you were on the show.
Awesome.
And she is so excited to come to your fight. Paige, thank you very much for your time. Hopefully we can get you back on again. We're going to put you on hold real quick, or just have Dave send me your address so we can send you and your husband some 8-man strong gear.
Yes, that would be awesome. I'll pass you back. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Paige. Let's see if we get Dave for a minute. Ding, ding, ding. We're going to see if Dave.
The big boss.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
What's up, my man? How are you?
All right, not too bad. A, I want to thank you. And B, did you teach Paige how to order the cheesesteak, or did you order it for her?
I actually didn't just teach her how to I didn't teach her how to order it at all. We actually threw her in the back and Philip Steaks, if you know, I think it's at 23rd and Passion. He's a good friend of mine. Philip Steaks, one of the best ones in Philly. And he actually brought her back and taught her how to make a cheesesteak. So he taught her not only how to order it, but how to make it. And he taught her you got to say whiz wit and or whiz without, and you know, she did it. She was cool. She's actually been a real pleasure here at this trip. We got some stuff of her running up the steps. We started a new partnership with our foundation that we're a charitable foundation. We're partnering with the Travis Manion Foundation, who donates money to families of fallen soldiers and police officers, firefighters. So it's exactly up bare knuckle fighting Sims Alley. So it was a great partnership announcement this morning. Then we did some fun stuff, take a picture with Rocky running up the steps, and then cooking the cheesesteak. Then she's going to be on her way back home her new home in Florida.
We need to get her, not just to go into a Publix in Florida to get Scrapple. She needs to have some Scrapple while she's in Philly, too.
She does need to have some Scrapple. You're right.
What can you tell us about, obviously, next week? We're going to broadcast on Wednesday. We're going to be there on Friday for the fight. Or anything else that's going on? Anything breaking, non-breaking, or that you didn't want to break that you will break?
I mean, I can't really let the one thing out yet. I got to get something signed. But we're talking to two of the biggest names in mixed martial arts right now. Two of the top 10 biggest names in mixed martial arts right now. And we think that we're going to be able to pull the trigger on them in the next couple of weeks. So this has just been a great post-pandemic, or I know we're during the pandemic, but almost at the end of this crap that's going on. So, and I don't mean that for the people that got sick. I mean that for all the headaches
sure.
that are causing everybody else.
Sure.
And we're running fast. And it's been an amazing, I guess, mid to end of the year for us. And we're going to keep rolling, man. Randy, thank you. Thank you guys for your support. But this is just beginning, man.
Talk about for a second. I don't know how much time you have. I know that you guys are busy, you know, doing stuff with Paige. But talk about how important that signing with Paige was and how that's helping with whoever you're talking to now and whoever you're going to be talking, that it's not one, it's now two, it's now three, and it's their building as well as you guys are.
Well, I think what it did is it was a perception play for us and a legitimacy thing, meaning that now they know that we're not just a flash in the pan. You know, I heard it all. We're a flash in the pan. You're a one-hit wonder. You'll never be back. It's too barbaric. Too this. Everything they said to the UFC, right, they said it to us. Well, here we are now, and we're signing some of the biggest names in combat sports. And what it did for us, it made every top management group in the country reached out to me every day now. Why? Because they know that we're serious, we're in the game, and we're going to pay real money. But at the same time, they also know now, after talking to me all week, that I'm not spending stupid money. So it was a give and take. So, yes, it did tremendous things for us. It let, I think, a lot of people know that we really were for real. And, you know, because we put that Mike Tyson offer out there, and a lot of people thought we weren't really for real, which is for publicity. We wanted that. We still want it now. So if it's going to happen now, we'll still take it. But at the end of the day is now we actually did – a major multi-million-dollar signing, and I think people are really going to take it seriously now.
You know, and I think the other thing, and you know this, I've had, you know, quite a few people reach out to me and ask me questions and ask me about the company, and it's that small family, you know, team thing that you have had since day one that you continue to have a year and a half into this, that I think is also drawing the attention of fans, media, and potential fighters.
Yeah, look, we'll never forget where we came from. Not just me, all the staff, the fighters. I mean, you know, it took a long road. The guys are with me from the beginning of this thing, 8-9 years ago. They know all the struggles, all the risk, and everything that we took. And, you know, we're always going to remember that because it wasn't easy for us. It's not like we just said here to some guy, hey, can you give me $20 million? Let me buy this company off somebody and blow it up. It didn't happen like that for us. We built it from the ground up. From nothing, from literally doing illegal bare-knuckle underground fights in warehouses, in backyards, doing this to get people to talk about it, to get major publications to write about it. So we will always have that family feel because they love it. The fighters love it. They love to be able to come up to me and be like, yo, Dave, what's up? You know, they love it, and I'm going to keep doing it, and we're going to keep growing that way. And I think that's a real part of our of the strength of the growth right now.
You know, and I'll say the same thing as the fighters. I love that I can text you. You're the president of, you know, the biggest thing going today that continues to grow, and you always text me back. You always are involved with us. We appreciate it. More importantly, let's get a BKFC card in Philadelphia so we can come up and get some cheesesteaks.
Please help me get some people to lobby this commissioner up here. I mean, I am in. I honestly, that's really what puts an exclamation point on I made it, if I can do a show here in Philadelphia. Then I know I made it. I know all the hard work was worth it. I know we're just going to keep building.
We'll figure out a way one way or another. Dave, as always, thank you very much, and I will see you next Wednesday when you will be back on the show live from the hotel.
I'll see you next Wednesday. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. That is Dave Feldman. He is your president of BKFC, Paige Van Zandt, the most recent signing, and some biggies right around the corner.
I have a question, though. I wonder if she had to wear gloves to make the Philly cheesesteak. How ironic with him.
I'm going to slap you upside the head. Okay, I know we need to hit this break, but I'm going to slap you upside the head because all the stupid stuff you have said for the years you've been on the show, that was freaking gold. Are you kidding
me? I said
me?
It on the show.
But you didn't say it to her.
I didn't want to mess up the segment. I know she was on a short period of time.
That would have been funny.
I wanted to show respect to you. It was your segment.
Typically, you ruin stuff. That would have been funny.
Well, we'll mention it to her next time we see her.
Well, which may be next Wednesday.
Yeah, next Wednesday. We'll talk about it.
All right. I know we're over. Let's hit this break. Coming to you live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong. You should have said it. And Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Trent Dilfer, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Do you know the difference between jacaranda and a palm? How about what is lethal bronzing and how to stop it? Can you trim a 30-foot rubber tree and know how to clean your equipment after? I answered no to these and many more about the trees in my yard and how to take care of them. Luckily, I know the great guys at Tree Impressions of Florida, and they do. After one call to Tree Impressions of Florida, and I'm ready for hurricane season, or at least my yard will be, don't wait until it's too late. Call Tree Impressions of Florida today at 727-263-9291. You need tree trimming and removal? Watch how they clean up after. Just as impressive as the tree work in itself. Call Tree Impressions of Florida at 727-263-9291 and have one less thing to worry about before the next storm.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years, the Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South El Mabry in Tampa.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
What's up? This is Sean Lights Out Merriman, former Charger, now CEO, co-founder of Lights Out Extreme Fighting. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I said listen to them by
myself. What are you doing?
I'm socially acceptable.
You're an idiot.
What do they call me? Compliant.
I think we're just going to call you an idiot.
Because I'm wearing a mask?
Yes.
Don't want to contaminate our next guest. Or any of our future guests.
All right, well,
or you.
Well, what's ironic is, remember the last time and we were really freaked out?
Yeah, I remember well because. Yeah.
Let's welcome Billy Q back to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Bill. Guys?
All right, how are you? Jared's sitting in with us right now as well.
Billy, yes. I got my mask on so I don't get COVID through the phone or through the microphone, so I'm protected. Ready to go.
I guess you gotta be careful.
How you doing,
buddy? Be careful out there. I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
I overtalked you.
Billy Q, it's Jared. What's up, bud?
What's up, man? How you doing, brother?
Good, man. I was hoping you're gonna be here so I can mess with you, but just have to do it via radio.
Well, you can always mess with me over your phone. And congratulations on your fight. I guess we're fighting the same weekend, which is exciting.
Yeah, buddy. I appreciate it, man. Congrats to you too. You're killing it out there.
Thanks, my man.
Talk about, you know, for a second, what went through your mind right away, because I know that when I got the call, you know, from some people, and I think, Matt, you were one of them, you know, I was freaking out only because I babysit a 3-month-old granddaughter. What was it like for you? Were you worried? Were you concerned? And how did you handle it?
Yeah, no, I think the biggest concern was at that point, you know, just I was worried about, you know, Frivola being able to fight. Because they were basically like, you have COVID. So, you know, I kind of did like a double take. I kind of like, you know, kind of like felt myself. I'm like, do I feel okay? You know, like, because everything felt pretty normal. But then it was just the obvious of like, okay, well, I hope Matt can still fight. Because at that point it was like, we were in like the same room and everything. And unfortunately he wasn't able to fight. But I think I was a little more worried about him than me. Because I felt completely fine. You know, I had a bit of a stuffy nose, but overall I felt fine. And I know, I live in Florida. All my family lives up in Buffalo. So I really wasn't around too many people that were, you know, older or, you know, more susceptible. So I really wasn't worried, about health wise. It was just more of like, this is going to suck for Vola who just, you know, finished his training camp up.
I made a quick call to a doctor. I won't say his name publicly. I'll text you who it is. I know you know him. He's a good friend of mine. And we talked for about 12 seconds. He goes, you're fine. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. It's, you know, dates don't really matter and 6 feet don't matter. Everything is good. So update us next week back in the cage. You've got to be amped.
Yeah, man. I can't wait. And like I said, I wish I could be there. But I'm literally driving around right now. They're having us do all these extra COVID measured tests. So I just got done doing an EKG test and another heart exam because I guess some people, you know, they have some kind of heart conditions after. Those both went super smooth. And we've got a couple more. We send in our COVID tests already, our current ones. And yeah, man, I'm trying to not be distracted by all the other random testing. And just excited to get back in there, man, and do what we do best.
Jared, would you do MMA? And Billy, would you do bare knuckle?
I have done MMA. And not nearly as good at it as Billy. You know, when I first came to, you know, Billy trains out of Gracie Tampa South. I train out of Gracie Clearwater. They're sister schools. We all, you know, everybody knows each other. But back in the day when I used to strictly be with them, MMA was my goal at the time. And I came in strictly as a kickboxer, knew nothing about the ground game. And most of their guys, I mean, while they were good at both, they were awesome on the ground.
On the grounds, yeah.
So, Billy would tell you.
Hence Gracie. Hence the word Gracie.
Yeah. So, I don't know. When we would spar, almost every sparring session would go the same. The first 20, 30 seconds, I'd ding them up, get some good shots, and then they'd take me down and get me in some nasty submission or turn me into a pretzel or something. But, yeah, they're a bunch of awesome guys. But – that being said, with your question, striking is my forte, and that's why I love bare knuckle.
Sense.
It's definitely what more made for me.
Billy, would you ever take the gloves off?
Yeah. And to feed off of Jared's question or his answer, Jared's striking is phenomenal, and it definitely would not be easy getting him to the ground. I remember eating several knees to the stomach, into the chest, and front kicks, and seeing him going over to bare knuckle. I love seeing it because, you know, it's just stand-up only. But, man, I would love to see him kicking and kneeing again, too, because that was super, super sharp with his knees and his kicks. But, obviously, his hands are super good, too, so I'm super excited for his fight. I definitely would, man. I enjoy the bare-knuckle boxing, man. We went to those last time they were in Tampa Bay, And I enjoy it, man. For me, you know, I'm a martial artist, and a fight is a fight. So, you know, I'm whatever the rule sets may be, you know, I've had a pro boxing match. I've done an amateur Muay Thai fight. I've done a bunch of jiu-jitsu tournaments. And, you know, now being in the UFC, I always appreciate the violence, you know, and whatever the rule set, I would definitely consider it. You know, right now I got a good deal with the UFC. But, sure. I'm a fan of it. I'm a fan of the sport.
Both of you guys talk about how difficult is it to train, you know, with a friend, and it may go a little bit further than it should, but you're able to keep your friendship. And the reason that I'm asking it, my brother and I got in a fist fight, I believe I was 18, and I still dislike him. And that was 40 some years ago. How do you, and I've been in a gym and I, you know, but I understand it, but talk about that, how you, what's in the gym stays in the gym and you're still friends and then you go out to dinner after.
Yeah. It's I think maybe because it becomes so commonplace, and most of the guys, you know, guys like Billy who have been doing it for a long time now, know where to keep the pace. You know what I mean? When you are going with
you're not trying to hurt somebody.
Your training partners, you know, it's not your enemy. Which I don't know. When I was brand new into fighting and an amateur and all that, I always thought my sparring partners were my opponents. I always wanted to win. You know what I mean? Now I don't care. I'm more about, okay, let's get better. Let's not break anything so we can still, you know, fight whenever you have something scheduled. But, no, I mean, especially, I don't know, those guys over there, when me and Billy would spar, I don't ever remember getting mad at him or him getting mad at me.
Well, you don't know if he got mad at you.
but he's cool as a cucumber. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to get him upset. But, you know, I just remember Joe, like, he'd take me down, he'd be grinding, punching me, and I would just be whispering, I'd be like, you're not my favorite person right now. You know what I mean? We just kind of jump around while getting punched in the face. So, no, it's not too often that somebody actually loses their cool, I would say.
Yeah, Billy, let me ask you this.
What's up?
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I think it was, you know, even back when, you know, because when Jared was with us, we were all, like, amateurs. And I think we all kind of looked at the bigger picture and, you know, where we wanted to get to. And, you know, if we kind of look back on it, we've all kind of reached some sort of goals. You know, he's doing big things with Bare Knuckle. We're in the UFC. And, you know, I think that was always just the bigger picture that our teammates are here to help us and we're all here to help each other get better.
What's the difference? Because I argue this with Matt, and both of you guys, you know, give me your answer, and it may be the same, it may be different. What's the difference between a training partner and a teammate?
A training partner and a teammate. Yeah, so a training partner could be, you know, for example, we brought in a bunch of guys on Friday that, like, you know, I don't really know that well, that, you know, like what Jared was saying, they were from different Gracie schools. You know, Bamboo brought some guys in. And then, you know, Gabe Maldonado came in, he's a great guy. Those are kind of like training partners. And then teammates are guys, in my opinion, that are, you know, kind of with you no matter what. They're, you know, they're the guys that train with you day in and day out. You know, they got their goals, you got your goals, but you're kind of looking after them more. You know what I mean? Like Frivola, you know, like he's like my brother. He's like my close teammate. And training partners, you know, someone who's he's training with you, and they're, of course, you're helping each other, but you don't necessarily you're not always with them, and, you know, they're just there for you, you know, when you kind of need each other.
When you need them. And that's why, Matthew, that's why I always say that I'm a teammate of Alon's, or Alon is a teammate of mine and not a training partner. All right, so question for both of you guys. The funniest, strangest, craziest thing that's ever happened in the middle of a fight, something that was said to you by the opponent, your mind wanders. Billy, what's the craziest thing to come to mind?
Craziest thing that comes let me think about that. So I wouldn't say it was super crazy. Looking back on it, it was just really strange. We used to go fight in Ocala all the time, and if you know about Ocala, it's kind of a little rougher, you know, more of like, you know, just not as professional as what we're used to now. And I definitely remember fighting there, and they had the announcers. And the announcers would, like, in the middle of your fight, they would play music while you were literally fighting. And then they would also have an announcer, and he would be like, all right, now who wants to see some blood? Like, we don't want to see none of that jiu-jitsu. And you're like, what the fuck is this? You're like, what is this? What are they even talking about? You know,
why?
while you're literally playing.
I think Billy said he brought up the fire truck.
What kind of truck?
That was truck, right, Billy?
There's a fire.
It's all. I couldn't really hear you. So I would be like, what the heck is going on here? And I remember one of my opponent's corners saying something to me, which I definitely can't repeat. But I was like basically about to take him down. And he goes, don't let this something take you down. And I just looked at him. I'm like, man, that's aggressive. You don't even know me, you know. And just like little like weird things like that when you're an amateur and you look back on it and you're like, man, I'm glad I don't have to go. I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore.
That's funny. Jared, before you give your response, I just got a text message from Johnny Cool, who happened to stop by my house today to try to fix some issue on my air conditioning. And he said, jiu-jitsu. Do you know what the meaning of jiu-jitsu is? Anybody?
No.
Jiu-jitsu is the gentle art of folding clothes while people are still in them.
Heard that.
Oh, Johnny Cool, stop by here. I could use some help.
Johnny Cool's the man. All right, Jared.
Craziest thing. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to repeat my dead
last
pick
one.
Story.
Yeah, that's still classic, though.
I will say, aside from that one, the one that stands out.
Billy, did you know that? Did you know that Jared killed somebody?
Yeah, Jared killed a guy
in a ring.
He killed a guy? I was not aware of that, but you might want to lay low for a little while.
He stopped a heart with a kick.
You don't remember the heart stopper story?
Yeah.
I do remember hearing that. I do remember hearing the heart stopper.
He didn't even have a trident. It was
unfortunate.
Amazing.
It was crazy. That really escalated quickly.
Oh, God.
You need to have a shirt. You know, I know that we're talking about a shirt, but you need a shirt to say something like, I killed a guy. Have you?
Brick killed a guy. Check. We'll call him Brick.
With a check.
That should be your nickname, Brick.
But no, aside from that classic story, me and a group had fights down in Miami years back, and I was main event. One of my other buddies was co-main, and then we had a few guys who were newer, so they were earlier on in the card. This was all it was Muay Thai and San Chow, so it was all stand-up stuff. And one of my buddies was fighting, and I'm in the back watching, warming up. And they had like a plexiglass window where you could see the fights from warm up. And for his rules, you weren't allowed to catch a kick.
Okay.
So he's winning the fight. Guy catches his kick, sweeps him. And then once he hits the ground, he starts kicking him while he's on the ground. And the referee just kind of hands on his hips, like nodding, just like letting it happen. And then next thing I know is my coach jumps in the ring. Then his coach jumps in the ring. And then it's just like cockroaches. All the crowd and everybody just gets involved. Me and my buddy, who are co-main, we rush out, jump in the ring. So everybody's fighting everybody. And it just goes ballistic. And finally, you know, it clears up, gets broken up. And they were talking about canceling the rest of the card. And it was me and you guys may know Eric Reynolds. I know.
Oh, yeah.
I know Billy does.
Yeah.
And, He was
co-main. And me and Eric were like, no, we want to fight. And the rest of our team got beat up. Then, unfortunately, aside from my buddy who would have won that one, they're all getting beat up. And then they let us continue. And me and Eric went out and we both just destroyed our guys. And by the end of it, the crowd was actually cheering for us. At first, they hated us, but I guess they kind of respected the fortitude of the whole thing.
Or in the words of Billy, the violence.
Yes, the violence for sure.
I can see that.
Billy, before we let you go, talk to us about next Saturday. Talk to us about the fight. What can you tell us about the opponent? Or like I normally ask you guys, does it even matter about the opponent? It's more about what you're going to do than what he's going to do.
He's a tough Canadian. I don't know why I kind of know why at first. You know, I grew up in Western New York, right on the border of Ontario. So I know, like, you know, when I used to go up there to fight, I fought a few Canadians, and it followed me to the UFC. You know, I got this Canadian. I'm fighting this guy who's Canadian, and then another guy, Gavin Tucker, who we had a contract signed, and because of COVID, it got canceled. And then he just won his fight. He called me out too. So not only do I have another Canadian to fight, I got another one on the back burner. So, yeah, it's an exciting fight, man. He's a good striker. He's decent everywhere. He's pretty well-rounded. But I had a great training camp. You know, we've been getting it in every single day at South. And I'm super excited for this. I believe I could take him out on the feet, and that's the plan. And, if I decide to mix it up and to grapple with him, I got the cardio advantage for sure. So it's another one of those fights where I think the longer the fight goes, it's going to just continue to favor me. So I just need to go in there and just handle business. You know, don't make any big mistakes early on, and you know, go out there and get a spectacular finish and try to get one of those performance of the night bonuses.
Should I open up a can of something?
Yeah, open it up.
Should I open up a can?
Big one.
Is there really such a thing as a tough Canadian? Just asking.
I mean, GSP is pretty tough.
I'm just asking.
I got to say, they actually are.
You're not the first person to tell me that. And, you know, I've beaten two of them before, but of course I don't want to, be overconfident, you know,
Billboard
get ahead of myself. So I'm definitely taking him seriously. I think I'm favored on, like, with Vegas and, like, the odds and everything. So I definitely don't want to look past him. And I've trained probably harder for this fight than the last one, because, you know, the last one I trained as hard as I could, but we really couldn't get in the gym. So This time I was able to get back in with my strength and conditioning coach. I've been able to come back, you know, on the mats at South with Arroyo and everyone. So I think this is going to be a more polished version than the last fight.
Awesome. Looking forward to it, Billy. Thanks for the time. We're going to put you on hold so I can send you another shipment of 8-Man Strong Swag, and give us a holler after the fight. Come on down and let's have some more pizza.
Oh, man, I would love that, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Billy. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
See you, brother.
All right.
Wow. I wonder where the Canadians park their horses after they walk out.
The reason that I said that was back when the big GSP Matt Hughes wars and arguments and disagreements and whatever. So Matt, you know, said some things, and then, you know, GSP with, I'm not impressed with your performance. Matt came out and said that, this is one of the best. He said he has a new hobby. He's collecting Canadian vintage war rifles, never shot.
Wow.
Yeah. A little shot over the bow, you know. Talk about real quick at the firehouse. I know that they brought it up to Stipe, you know, about it. And he said, you know, I still do the toilets. They give me a hard time. Any added or less because, you know, you're a badass in the squared circle?
Nah, it doesn't change. Everybody chips in, you know. I'm at a big firehouse. And I'll say, like, typically, like, I've got just over 10 years on the job. And so us being in a bigger house where there's about a dozen guys.
How does a 22-year-old guy have 10 years force?
If only. but usually, like, the newer guys, they're quick to knock out those duties. You know what I mean? And that's probably – I would guess it's the same thing with Stipe. I'm sure he's got a lot of years on the job.
Sure.
So he's probably not cleaning toilets as
like
often
he says
as
he says.
Right. Yeah, probably not.
But you still have to.
But yeah, more or less everybody chips in and does their
part. More importantly, where is your sweet stash? I mean, how do they let you be a fireman if you don't have a stash?
We tried the you know, No Shave November thing one year. And I was like about a week and a half in, and I just couldn't do it. Mine comes through kind of like reddish clear, and you can only see it at certain angles, and I'm like, nope.
Before we run out of time, I do want to talk about the fight. I know we only have another minute or two, but talk about the fight. Mm-hmm. Talk about who you're fighting. And I always bring this up. There's a lot of really nice guys, and I'm not trying to blow smoke. You know, you're a really nice guy. You know, you've come out here a couple of times.
He did kill a guy.
He did, well, but I didn't know him.
It wasn't you. But yeah. At least
So it's all good. How is such a nice, down-to-earth guy in such a violent sport?
That's
why you're nice. Cause
it's my release, man. I mean, right. You know what I mean? Like the day in, day out job, you help people and, you know, you have to maintain a certain amount of professionalism. And then every once in a while, you just got to let the beast out of the cage. And it, you know, nobody makes me do it. I do it because I want to.
Sure.
And enjoy the hell out of it.
I might need to hang out with him a little bit. Maybe he can teach me how to show a little bit of professionalism.
Yeah, you could use some.
Stay off the phone. Don't call credit card companies.
Yeah. How do you feel about working security detail for Randy?
who are you fighting?
A guy named Josh Dyer. And watching tape on him. We got a great game plan. I'm excited to fight the guy. I mean, I hadn't heard of him prior to us getting lined up with each other. But, you know, nothing against him personal. I'm not a guy who has
business.
I don't talk crap. You know, I don't know the guy, so I have no reason to dislike him, but it's business.
I always bring this up to, you know, different athletes when we talk about game plans. Seriously, how can you have a game plan when you don't know, A, what you're going to do after the first 10 seconds, and you don't know what he's, you know, people have said, send me a list of your first 10 questions. Well, I don't know how you're going to answer question one. How do I know what question two is? how do you have a game plan? You know what I'm saying? It gets thrown out the window.
It's only, you know, it's a rough draft. You know what I mean? Anything can happen at any time, and you train for all the different circumstances. When you say you have a game plan, it's usually just referring to, you know, tendencies. Right. You see something that they do, tendency, and you have something to play off of that. But, you know, like you said, it could be completely different than last time, and then you just got to wing it.
I was hoping for, like, a game plan, and then I was going to say, how come you've never had a game plan on the show?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Well, because I have the talent. The producer does all that work.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what are the chances of us taking a fire truck from Tampa to Daytona next week?
Just don't ask for permission. Just, yeah. just grab one and go.
Just leave the keys. I'll bring the food.
Well, now, the Las Vegas fire department showed up at the Apex. I don't know if you – did you know that?
Cool.
They showed up with the fire trucks in support of Stipe. So do we need to call the Daytona Fire Department and see if they can
that would
show
be awesome.
Up?
Yeah. I don't think they'd actually show up, but just,
especially on
9/11. Just to see.
That I mean, what cool. a day to do it, 9/11.
You know, talk about that, and I know we only have about a minute. It's 9/11. It means a lot, you know, to me as a veteran, but as a fireman, it's got to mean even more.
Yeah, that's huge, man. I mean, you know, when 9/11 happened, it was before my time in the fire department, but I still hope that people do not forget that day. You know, I mean, don't forget all the good stuff and all the sacrifices. But yeah, it's huge. I feel very lucky and fortunate to be able to be on this card.
I think it's awesome that they're doing it on that day.
Yeah, amazing.
And I know we only have about 60 seconds left, but it means a lot to me. I know Dave Feldman said they're going to do some things. Mm-hmm. He tells me a lot, but he hasn't told me anything about what's going to happen next Friday. So I am looking forward to it.
Man.
Yeah, it is, which is cool. Well, and where you have to be careful is if you go and say something, even though I don't repeat nothing, if it doesn't happen, you know, so you don't give out anything, you don't say anything. But he did have Paige Van Zandt order the cheesesteak properly wet.
I saw. So. I wonder if she wore the gloves. That's what I wanted to know.
That was a great, best question he could have ever asked.
If she had to wear the gloves.
All right, we are out of time. Jared, thank you for stopping by. Are you able to eat, even though the fight's next week?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm on weight. I'm
he knows how to make it.
We're going to do some pizza.
He's a professional.
Want to thank everybody for tuning in. Want to thank all of our guests. We have some 8-Man Strong for you as well, Jared.
Awesome.
You know, for coming over. Hit me up on Twitter, @ Knockout Radio.
@ Make It Pizza Man 1.
You have Twitter?
I don't. I'm a no Twitter guy. Sorry.
I could have said so many funny things, but luckily we're out of
time. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jim McMahon, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.